Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Nun Beis, and we are at the Mishnah on the top of daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So, at the beginning of the week, we began Perek Arba Mises Bezdin. As you would expect, Perek Arba Mises Bezdin begins with the Arba Mises Bezdin, the four types of capital punishment that were administered by Bezdin. We saw Machloikis, Reb Shimon, and Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, it's Skila, Sreifa, Herig, and Chenek. According to Reb Shimon, it's Sreifa, Skila, Chenek, and Herig. In other words, they argued which is the most chamor, which is the least chamor. Regardless, the Mishnah had already told us, Zu mitzvah on his column, that in the previous Perek Nigmar Adin, the Gemara went into detail describing Skila, which is number one on the list in terms of severity, according to the Chachamim. So we're now working our way down the list, and here we're going to have a Mishnah that's going to discuss the technical details of exactly how mitzvah Sreifa was administered. Talk to Mishnah, mitzvah Hanisrafim, somebody was Chayiv Sreifa, such as a Bas Koyin, that's Mizana. How exactly was Sreifa given? Are you Meshakin Oysa, or in that case, Oysa, Bezev? So they would take the inmate, the subject, put him into Zevel up until his knees. The point was, they needed him in a position where he wouldn't be able to move. Then they would take a Suder, a towel that was hard, they would fold it inside a Suder that was soft, and they would put it around the neck of this person that was being killed. There would be two people that would stand on the two sides of him. Each one would pull to him until, because of the force of pulling the sudarim, the person's mouth would open up. We're going to see tomorrow that chenek was exactly that. That's what chenek was. But by chenek, they would squeeze it all the way until the person choked to death. Over here, they don't want to choke him. Over here, he's chayiv sreifa, not chenek. So they would pull it just enough that his mouth would open up. Once his mouth opened up, umadlikas apsila, they would take a little piece of lead, the Gemara is going to say, v'zarka l'teich piv, they would throw it into his mouth, v'yaredos l'teich meyav, this burning lead would go down his digestive system, the chaymera says bnei meyav, it would burn his intestines, and that's how he would die. Rabbi Yehuda said that I don't like this, because what you're doing is you're making the person vulnerable to die misas chenek. Because what happens if when they push the respective sudar, they were pushed a little bit too hard, and then he chokes to death, he's going to get chenek, and he's not supposed to get chenek. Says Rabbi Yehuda, it may be adam lo hayu mekayim by mitzvah sreifa. What happens if the person died because they were moshech the sudar a little bit too hard? Ela poseach es piv mitzavas. Rather, there was a tool they would use, some sort of utensil. That's how they would get his mouth open. Shelo b'tei vasoi, against his will, meaning they would fight him, even though it's a little less convenient in the sense that he could put up a little more of a fight. But it didn't matter. We didn't want to risk him dying misas chenek. So they would get his mouth open in some other way, and then umadlikas apsilo, they would light this piece of lead, v'zorkel tech piv, throw it into his mouth, v'yeredos tech meyav, down the digestive system, v'chaymeres es b'nei meyav, and that's how he would die, mitzvah sreifa. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik said, Maisa, I remember a story, b'vaskoyin achashadinsa, there was a baskoyin that was mezana, and a baskoyin that's mezana is chayiv sreifa, and they gave her sreifa, but they didn't administer it in the way that the chachamim said you should do it. They didn't take a piece of lead, throw it down her mouth, down the digestive system, and let the insides of her burn. But rather, hikifua chavileis moiris, they surrounded her with wood. This arfua, they lit the wood on fire. She was inside this little bundle of wood, and that's how she died. Amrulai. So they told Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, I hear. We take your word for it. We trust you that that's what you recall. However, I want you to appreciate that what that Bezdin did was wrong. And the reason they did it was when they shalehoyu Bezdin shalehoyu zeshah baki. Rashi, quoting the Gemara later, says that this was a Bezdin of Tzedukim. And the Tzedukim, who darshaned only the Torah Shebiksav, and they did not darshan the Yud Gimel Midah Shatayu Nedrashas Behem, they didn't have the drasha that the Gemara is going to bring now in our sugi that teaches us that that's not the way it's supposed to be. So the Tzedukim literally would put the person on fire. They would light a match, boom, the person would burn to death. The Chachamim did it in a more favorable way. We're going to see the Gemara is going to say that it's related to Vahaft L'Reyacha Kamoicha Barloi Misa Yotha, a theme that's repeated itself many times in the context of Misa's Bezin. So the Chachamim held that that's not the Misa Yotha, that's not the way to do it. It's going to be based on drushes. And on that note, Zok the Gemara. So my psilos, again, How was Sreifa administered? They would put the person in a lockdown position. They put him in a way where he wouldn't be a straitjacket. He wouldn't be able to move. What was the primitive way of doing that? They would put him in Zevel, Adar Kevoisev, up until his knees. He's not going anywhere. So now we accomplish the fact that he's not going to move. We have to figure out a way to get his mouth open so we can now put the fire inside his mouth. Machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, how that was done. According to the Chachamim, they would take sudarim, squeeze, not too hard, because you don't want him to choke. That's chenek. But at the same time, enough that his mouth will be forced open. Boom, now you could throw the aver, the lead, into his mouth. Rabbi Yehuda was concerned. He didn't want to risk this person maybe dying. Mises chenek. It'd be a shame. We're going to kill him, and he's not even going to get the mises he's supposed to get. He's not even going to get the appropriate kapara. So he had, there was a tzeves, there was a tool that they used. Shaloi b'tei v'asoi, against his will, that's how they opened it up. Says, where my psilo, amirav masno, psilo shalever. The psilo was made out of lead. Minola, how do you know? Says the Gemara that this is the way Sreifa was given. Maybe the way that Stukim did it was right. Sreifa sounds like the Ishtisar, if you light a fire, and Loyalenu, the person dies from a fire. How do you know that it was supposed to be done in this very unique way? Burning Aver inside the body, and somehow it burns that way. Says the Gemara, Asya Sreifa Sreifa Me'adas Kerch. Says the Tanakhama, it's learned out from the Adas Kerch. Ma'ala Halon Sreifos Nishom of a Guf Kayim. Just like when the Adas Kerch were burnt, it was only the neshama that burned, but the guf itself was intact. It was kayin. Afkan, so too, when an inmate was given sreifa, sreifas neshama, the guf kayin. It had to be done in that same way. Rabbi Lazar says, asya sreifa b'nei ahar. We learn it from the b'nei ahar. Ma'ala halon, sreifas neshama, the guf kayin. Just like Aharon's two sons that were burnt to death. Who were they? Nadav and Avihu. When they died, it was the same thing. It was sreifas neshama, but the guf was kayin. Afkan, so to hear, sreifas neshama, the guf kayin. In other words, there are two famous episodes in the Torah where people died sreifa. Dadas Kerach and Nadav and Avihu. We're familiar with Dadas Kerach, very familiar. A whole parasha in the Torah, parasha Kerach. We're probably a little less familiar with Nadav and Avihu, but we are familiar with it. Parasha Shmini, in the beginning of parasha Achrimos, we'll speak out a lot about Nadav and Avihu later in the Daf. But either way, a machlekes amayroim, whether we learn it from Adas Kerach or whether we learn it from the Sreifa of Nadav and Avihu. The man that learns it from Adas Kerach says that when the Adas Kerach died, it was Sreifas neshama, the guf kayin. It's not that the guf burnt to the point where the bodies were cremated, they were now ashes. That's not the way Adas Kerach died. It was Sreifas neshama. The Sreifa happened inside, in the internal organs. The guf, however, was kayin. So, just like that was the Sreifa by Adas Kerach, so too that's going to be the Sreifa of Mises Bezin. Rabbi Lozer, the man that learns it from Nadav and Avihu, he held that Mises Nadav and Avihu was also in that way. It was Sreifas Neshama, it all happened in the internal organs, but the guf was not cremated, it didn't disintegrate, it was intact, so too the Sreif of Mises Bezdin is going to be in that same way. Says the Gemara, man, the Olav Madas Kairach, the man, the Omar, that learns Sreif from Das Kairach. In other words, he holds that Das Kairach was Sreifas Neshama v'guf kain, so too the Sreif of Mises Bezdin is going to be in that same way. Minolay, how does he know that? I mean, it doesn't say anywhere mafurish in the Torah that the guf of the Adas Kerach was Kayim. So he must have had some Mesoira or some Drasha. What is that Drasha? The Chsev, he learns it from the following pasuk. It says, regarding the Adas Kerach, Ves machtois hachatoyim mo'ele binafshoison. And the word binafshoison is the Drasha, shenis shmoson is refes. It was only the Nefesh that burnt, but the Guf Kayim, the Guf was Kayim, the Edoch. And the man that learns it from Nadav and Avihu, in other words, he doesn't learn it from Adas Kerach. Why doesn't he learn it from Adas Kerach? Because he held that he's straight from Amish. That Adas Kerach, they died straight from Amish. It was straight from Amish. You can't learn straight as neshama v'guf kayim from Adas Kerach, because Adas Kerach was not straight as neshama v'guf kayim. It was a straight from Amish. Their bodies burnt. And what then does it mean when the pasuk says that what ultimately got them, the reason they died, was al iske nafshoisam? Meaning, Kerach was trying to lobby the troops. He was trying to get people to support him, and he was having a difficult time. And says the Gemara, you know how he eventually got them? He got them al iske nafshoisam. And Rashi says al iske nafshoisam means he got them with food. What's pshat in the pasuk? Tehillim perek lamed hey. B'chanfei lagei mo'ig choroik Olai shinemoi bishul chanufa shechnifu l'karechal iskei l'gimo. Because of the chanufa of Korach, he was able to get people to join him. Al iskei l'gimo, food, mashka, chorak aleim sar shol gehenim shinov. That was the ultimate downfall. So nafshoisan is a remez to food. Rashi says, al iskei nafshoisam, al chanufas achila v'shtiyo, hanichneses b'nafshoisam. Bottom line is that Korach got the people to support him with a hot meal, with a shtickle mashka. That was the hook that he used in order to wheel everybody in. And that's what the Torah means when it says b'nafshoisam, because achila v'shtiyo, nefesh, somehow go together. But the point is that nafshoisan is not coming to teach me that it was Sreifas neshama of a gufkaim. So the man domar that learns that misas bezin Sreifa was Sreifas neshama of a gufkaim from Adas Kerech holds that nafshoisan that it says by Adas Kerech was that itself. It was Sreifas neshama of a gufkaim. So I know it from Adas Kerech. The man domar that says I can't learn it from there, but I learned it from another Maviyu, is because he holds that by Adas Kerech it wasn't Sreifas neshama of a gufkaim. Says the man diyalef him neihar. So the man domar that says he can't learn it from Adas Kerech. Rather, where do you learn it from? You learn it from the Bnei Aharon. Minoli. How does he know that Nadav and Aviyu, who died Sreifa, how do you know that they died Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim? Maybe it was a real Sreifa. Says the Gemara, Dechsev, Vayamusu b'fnei Hashem. The Pasuk says, Vayamusu. Vayamusu sounds like Kein Misa, it was like an ordinary death. And just like an ordinary death is Guf Kayim, so too, they died in a way, it wasn't ordinary, it was Sreifa, but it was like, it was Ke'en Misa, in the sense that the Guf was Kayim. V'idach, the man da Amar that learns it from Adas Kerech Dafka, and he doesn't learn it from Misas Nadav Aviyu. Why didn't he learn it from Misas Nadav Aviyu? Ahu Sreifa Mamash Avoy, because he held that Nadav Aviyu died Sreifa Mamash. Umay Dichsev Vayamusu, what then does the term mean when it says Vayamusu? Isn't Vayamusu coming to emphasize that they died Ke'en Misa, like an ordinary death, in the sense that the Guf was Kayim? So the Gemara says, no, the Aschavah Megavoy Ke'en Misa. There was another nuance of this Misa that was Ke'en Misa, Mamish, which was that it started from the inside. Usually Sreifa starts from the outside. It's an external fire that comes and consumes the body. In this case, it was a little bit different. It sort of started like an ordinary misa. The Tanya, because we learned it in Braiso, Abi Yosef and the story of Mishnei Chutim Shalish Yatsu Beis Kedesh HaKadoshim, that when Nadav and Aviyu died, there were two chutin of fire that emerged from the Kedesh HaKadosh, v'nechleku la'arba, and the two divided into four. V'nichnesu, shnayim b'chaytom yishalzeh, two entered the nostrils of Nadav, v'shnayim b'chaytom yishalzeh, and two entered the nostrils of Aviyu, v'sarfum, and they burned. So even though it was Sreifa, but the Sreifa didn't really begin, it wasn't an external fire in the sense that their guf burnt first, but rather entered Chaitamoy Shalzeh v'Chaitamoy Shalzeh, and it was from there that the fire began to burn. So it was Ke'en Mis in that sense. But at the end of the day, the Guf wasn't Kayim. So if the Guf wasn't Kayim, you can't learn Sreifas Neshama, the Guf Kayim, from Nadav Aviyu. Freit the Gemara v'Ksiv, but doesn't the Pasuk say, V'atoicha lo'isam? The fire consumed them? What does consumed mean? Consumed means that they were completely destroyed. So the Gemara says, no, it's coming to teach me something else. Oysam v'loy bigdeim. It's just a drosha, them and not bigdeim, but not coming to teach us that they themselves were completely consumed. The bottom line is, we have a machloikis amayroi. How is it we know that the sreifa of Misas Bezdin was not an ordinary sreifa where they burnt the body, where the body was cremated, but rather it was a sreifa that took place in the internal organs, what the Gemara calls sreifas neshama of the guf kaim? One man, the Amar Rav Masna, says it's learned out from the Adas Kerech. The Adas Kerech was Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim. So too, the Sreifa Misas Bezdin is Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim. Rabbi Elazar says it's learned out from Nadav Aviyu. Nadav Aviyu also died Sreifa. It was Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim. So too, the Sreifa of Misas Bezdin is Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim. The Gemara said the man that learned it from Adas Kerech, why didn't he learn it from Nadav Aviyu? Teretz is, because that mandama will hold that Nadav Aviyu did not die Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim, but it was a real Sreif. The mandama that learned it from Nadav and Aviyu, why did we learn it from Adas Kerech? Because again, that mandama is going to hold that Adas Kerech didn't die Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim, was a real Sreif. Meaning, we have a machloikis in the Gemara, what the makor is, that Sreifa was administered in the way that the Mishnah describes it, but really, a derivative machloikis is, how did the Bnei Kerech die? And how did Nadav Aviyu die? Was it a Sreifa mamish? Or was it a Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim? Either way, the Gemara asks, v'neilav miparim anisrafim. So at the end of the day, each one of these respective Amiron held that there was a makar to a Sreifa which is Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kai. And we say that the Sreifa of Misas Bezdin is learned out from there. That this Sreifa is also going to be Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kai. Afraid the Gemara, there's another Sreifa in the Torah, and that Sreifa is a mitzvah that was Kayim L'Doyreis. It wasn't just some event that took place in Jewish history. It was a mitzvah L'Doyreis that involved Sreifa, and it was a Sreifa Mamish. It was a Sreifa where you take the subject and you burn it into smithereens. What is that? The Purim HaNisrafim. So Purim HaNisrafim were karbonos chatos that were brought for special occasions. Par helam davar shel tzibur, par koyim Mashiach. It's mentioned in the end of Parshas Vayikra. So there was a time where there was a karbon chatos that was brought. It was a par, a bull, and you had to take the bull and you had to burn it completely. So fake the Gemara, why don't we learn this sreif of Misas Bezdin from the Purim HaNisrafim, and let's make the following drush. Ma lahalan sreif mamish, afkan sreif mamish, just like the Purim HaNisrafim is not some sreifa neshama of a guf kayim, but rather it's a real sreifa. So maybe the sreifa Misas Bezdin has to be the same way. Says the Gemara, it makes more sense to learn it from an Adam, either Bnei Koirach or the Bnei Aharon, another Ben Avihu, respectively, Shekein, because the person that's getting Misas Bezdin has four similarities to the Adas Koirach or Nodav and Avihu, that it doesn't have to the Purim HaNisrafim. What are the four things? Number one, Shekein Adam. Atzad Ashav Shabahem is, they're both Adam. Adas Koirach, we're human beings. Nodav and Avihu, also. This person that's getting Mises Bezdin is an Adam. The Purim HaNisrafim is a bull, it's an animal. It's not an Adam. Additionally, Chayte. Adas Koirach sinned. Nodav and Avihu sinned. This person that's getting Mises Bezdin also sinned. Neshama, they all have Neshamos. That Das Kerech had neshamas, not the Avihu had neshamas, and this person has a neshama. And finally, the last one, which is interesting, is Pigel. There's no concept of Machsheves Pigel when you're talking about a Das Kerech, not the Avihu, or Mises Bezdin. There is an idea of Pigel when you're dealing with Purim HaNisrafim. So that's our fourth similarity in that they all don't have pigle. So being that there's four similarities, Tadas Korach, another Ben Avihu, that's why we learn it from Tadas Korach, another Ben Avihu. We don't learn it from the Purim HaNisrafim. But Faith the Gemara, Adarabo, I can tell you if I cared, Mi Purim HaNisrafim Havalei Lamelef. Maybe it makes more sense to learn Misas Bezdin from the Purim HaNisrafim, Shekein, because there's two things that they have in common. Number one, Machsher, Mitzvah. The Purim HaNisrafim was a Mitzvah. The Kohen had a Mitzvah to burn the par in the way that it's outlined in the Torah. So too, Misas Bezdin is a mitzvah that Bezdin has to give this person that's chayiv sreifa, sreifa. Whereas by that das koirach and by Nadav and Avihu, there was no mitzvah taking this sreifa, wasn't a sreifa's mitzvah. Additionally, l'dayrus, the Purim HaNisrafim was a mitzvah l'dayrus. It was an idea that didn't just happen one time in Jewish history. It was something that would repeat itself as necessary. So to the sreifa of Misas Bezdin. Whereas Misas Adas Kerech, that wasn't l'dayrus, that happened one time. Misas Nadav and Avihu wasn't l'dayrus, it happened one time. So you're telling me that there's four similarities to Adas Kerech and Nadav and Avihu, that's what you want to learn it out from there, and you're going to teach me this chiddush that the sreifa of Misas Bezdin was sreifa's neshama v'guf kayim. Add the rabbi, afraid the Gemara. Maybe learn it for Purim HaNisrafim, which was straight for Mamish, because you have two similarities to Purim HaNisrafim. So the Gemara does the back of the envelope arithmetic. Says the Gemara, so I have four similarities to one thing, I have two similarities to the other thing. Which one should I learn it out from? The one that's four. Hanach den Efishin. Makes sense to learn it from Adas Korech, another Menavir, rather than the other one. But we have one other Kasha. What's the other Kasha? We said that even if you want to go down the road and tell me you can't learn it from Purim HaNisrafim. Why? Because that's a par. This is an Adam. Chayte. The four differences between Adam and par. So when I learn from par. So where are we going to learn it from? Adas Koirach. Or from Nadav and Avihu. But we saw that the man Dama that learned it from Adas Koirach, he held that only the Adas Koirach was Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. Nadav and Avihu was Sreifa Mamash. The man Dama that learned it from Nadav and Avihu, he held that only Nadav and Avihu was Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. But Adas Koirach was Sreifa Mamash. That's why each one of these Amiram learned it from where they learned it out. Because they held that only their Makar was a Makar. Because only their Makar was Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayin. It's Freit the Gemara. So if I hold that Adas Korach died Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayin, it means that I hold Nadav and Avihu died Sreifa Mamash. So Mehecha Teisa. We had Adarab, and now we have Mehecha Teisa. Learn Misas Bezdin of Sreifa from Adas Koirach and teach me Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayin. Maybe learn it from Nadav and Avihu and learn that it's Sreifa Mamish. And in the reverse as well, the man that learns it from Nadav and Avihu, because he holds Nadav and Avihu with Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim, not from Adas Koirach, because Adas Koirach was Sreifas Mamish, so you can't learn Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim from Adas Koirach. Maybe learn, again, Mechatesi, learn it from Nadav and Avihu. Maybe learn it from Adas Koirach. And you're right, Adas Koirach is Sreifa Mamish, but it's also Adam Chayt in a Shama Pigle, so learn from there that it's supposed to be Sreifa Mamish. So man, the Yolof, the Adas Koirach, my time, the Yolof B'nei Aharon, Ahu Sreifa Mamish, Havoy? The answer is because it's Sreifa Mamish, Adar Rabbo, V'nei Lof Mino, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Amar Kro, and this is the punchline, V'yahavtu L'reach, L'komeicho, B'ror Loi, Misa Yofa, because there's an idea that if I have two options, it could be Sreifa means Sreifa Mamish, and it could be a means Sreifa's Neshama V'guf Kayim, it makes more sense to learn it from Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim, because that's a Misa Yafa. Being that it's a Misa Yafa, there is an idea of bro, Rav Nachman. So now that you tell me that we have Rav Nachman, V'Havtu Re'echa Kamoicha, and that's the Makarta Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. Sik Zeir Yishav Alomali, what I need to Zeir Yishav in the first place? Why do I have to come on to Hadas Koirach? Why do I have to come on to Nadav and Avihu? Why don't we just start the Sugya? We have a whole Amid Gemara. Why don't we just start the Sugya and say, you want to know how we know that Sreifas Mises Bezdin was not light the person on fire, but rather Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim? Because Broadway Misa Yafa. So the Gemara says very simply, had we not had Xer Shava, I mean, I would have thought Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim left Sreifa Hikla. Maybe that's not called Sreifa. Maybe the Heftz of Sreifa is where the whole body is consumed. Aye, it says, you're right, you have to do something about that. Maybe it would mean do the Sreifa that is a Sreifa, which means consume the body, but put a lot of Chavilez Moiris, ki echa the list of La'ago. La'ago's Miloshim, Bagolov, Zman Kariv. It should happen quickly. Kamash Malon, I have a Xer Shava that teaches me that Sreifas Neshova, V'Guf Kayim is a Sreifa. Once I know it's a Sreifa, now I have a Shiloh. Should I learn Sreifa, Sreifa from Adas Koirach? Should I learn it from Nodav and Avil, the Market Islay, the Market Islay? Should I learn it Sreifas Neshova, V'Guf Kayim? Should I learn that it's a Sreifa Mamish? Of course, I'm going to learn that it's Sreifas Neshova, V'Guf Kayim, because if it's a Sreifa, then for sure, V'Yahavtu L'Reacha Kamoicha, Barar Loi, Misa Yafa is Mechayev, that is the Misa Yafa, and that is the Misa that should be given. Zokti Gemara. So we mentioned Nadav and Avihu. Why did we mention Nadav and Avihu over here in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph? Because we're discussing what's the Makar that when Bezdin gave Sreifa, it was Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. According to one man, Domar was learned out from Nadav and Avihu. So the Gemara digresses for a moment, a little bit of Divrei Agada regarding Nadav and Avihu. Says the Gemara, Kfar Hoye Moshev Aharim Mahalchim Baderech. Moshe and Aharin were walking together Baderech. V'Nadav and Avihu Mahalchim Achareim. And Nadav and Avihu were following behind them. V'Cho Yisrael Achareim. And the rest of Klai Yisrael were behind Nadav and Avihu. Omalei Nadav and Avihu. Nadav turns to Avihu. And he tells him, Emasaya Musu. When are these two old men, referring to Moshe and Aharon, going to die? And me and you will be able to lead this dar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Nadav and Avihu, you think that Moshe and Aharon are going to die before you? These two Zekanim are going to die, and then you're going to be able to take over their positions. One will be Rabban shall call Yisrael. The other one is going to be the Kayin Gadol. Let's see who's going to bury who. Let's see who's going to die first. And of course, Nadav and Avihu die first. Amra Papa, Rapapa said, Hainu Damri Inchi. This is what people mean when they say, Nefishi Gamli Sabi, Deti'ini Mashchi Dohugni. That there are many old camels that have on them the hide, the skin of younger camels. Because sometimes, Le'olenu, the younger camel dies before the older camel. That's exactly what happened over here. Nadav and Avihu sort of took for granted that Moshe and Aharon were going to die before them, to the point that they said, Emosayamusu Shnei Zakeinim Eilu. The Aniva Atanan. We're going to see me kovresmi. Either way, this is one of many Gemaras in Shas, in Chazal, that discuss why was it that Nadav and Avihu died. It sounds like at first glance that it had something to do with this conversation between Nadav and Avihu. Omalei Nadav l'Avihu. Emosay amusu shnei zekeinim halalu v'ani v'ato nanagas adar. And the truth is that if you look around in Chazal, there are many, many different reasons that are given as to why Nadav and Avihu died. So if somebody's confused, why did Nadav and Avihu die? What happened? Why did they die? You have every right to be confused. And just to demonstrate why we should all be confused, that is Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. So this is taking place Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was also the Shmini Lemeluim. This was Yom HaKonas HaMishkan. So the Yidin, after Vayom HaShem Salachti Kidvarecha, literally, the day after Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, Luchos Shniyos, they finally got Slicha B'Kapara for the Chet HaEgel, and they have a commandment now. Go build a Mishkan. So they start working on the Mishkan, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, the Vilna Gaon, it's related to the Yom of Sukkot, that's when the Anani HaKovet came back, and they built through the winter. And then finally, at the end of Chodesh Adar, right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Soif Zman, that's when everything was ready. There were 7 days of Miluim. The 7 days of Miluim, as mentioned in the Torah, Parshas Tetzaveh, were the days that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did the Avodah. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. But for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu went back and forth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told him, I don't want to be the one that's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Mi Anochi came out of humility. But the bottom line is, for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu is vacilling. He's back and forth with Hashem. They're having this Shakla Vitaria, this debate, whether he should be the leader, he shouldn't be the leader, it should be Aharon. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, you were supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, but for 7 days you fought with me over being the leader of Klal Yisrael. You're going to be the Kohen Gadol, but only for 7 days. You fought with me for 7 days, it's only for 7 days that you're going to be the Kohen Gadol. First Palaturim and Parashat Shmini. Either way, 7 days, that's the Shivas Yimei Meluim. And then finally, the 8th day is Vayi Bayom HaShmini. That is Parashat Shmini. And what was that? That was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Yom HaKomas HaMishkan. Today is the first day. It's the inauguration. Big event. Everyone, Klal Yisrael, they're coming together. Today is going to be the day of the Mishkan. And there was a lot of symbolism over here. Because the Yidden had left Mitzrayim. They had received the Torah. They had reached tremendous, tremendous madrigal. And then they lost everything. They lost everything because of the Chet HaEgel. So this wasn't just an inauguration of a Mishkan. This was a day where they were finally going to be able to feel that closeness. They were going to see the Kvod Hashem, that Shekhinah, be manifest the way they saw it at Har Sinai. And the Pasuk says as follows. On that great day, Vayikhu b'nei Aharon, Nadav v'Aviyu ishmach tasai. Nadav and Aviyu, Aharon's two elder sons, took a pan. Vayinu b'neisha, they put fire on it. Vayasimu alei k'tayris. And then they put k'tayris on the fire. Vayakrivu l'fnei Hashem b'shzara. And they brought this k'tayris l'fnei Hashem. And the Torah says that it was an eish zara. The reason it was an eish zara, because it was asher leitziva oisam. Because nobody had asked them to do this. It didn't come from Moshe. It didn't come from Aharon. It didn't come from the Shekhinah. It didn't come from Hashem. And they, on their own volition, they bring this eish zara. Vateitzei eish m'lefnei Hashem. As they bring this eish zara, a fire came m'lefnei Hashem from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We just saw the Gemara. Vateichal oisam. It consumed them, or maybe it didn't consume them. Vayom Rusul of Nei Hashem. But regardless, they died mitzvahs, misas reifa. Vayom Moshe Aharon. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Aharon and he says, Hu Asher Dibra Hashem Lemar. Now I understand what Hashem meant when he said, Bekroi Vaya Kodesh. That on this great day, something really horrible is going to happen. And two great people are going to die. And somehow, Hashem says, I will be sanctified when these two kravim of mine, these two chashuvim die. It was referring to Nadav and Aviyo. Valpnei kolo ome koved vayidim Aharon. And even though Aharon had just lost his two sons, two tzaddikim, on a day that was supposed to be such a happy day, Aharon famously was vayidim. And this is the mussar, this is the lesson l'dayrus of how in a perfect world a person is supposed to deal with the tzara when it comes his way. Vayidim Aharon. Rashi says that Omele Moshe Aharon, Moshe told Aharon, Aharon achi, my brother Aharon, yodei yohayisi, I knew she yiskades habayis mute dove. I knew Bekrevi Akad. Hashem had told this to me. And I knew two people were going to die. Vayisi Sover, but I always thought it was going to be us. Me and you, who are the Krevi? I thought it was us. Achshav Raya Ani Shehem G'dayil Mimenu Mimach. Now I see these were the real Krevi Akadish. You know who it was? It was Nadav and Aviyu. Either way, three psukim in Parsha Shmini. Perek Yud, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Of course, it continues a little bit. But this is really the crux of what we need for the Parsha of Mises Nadav and Aviyah. So if you read this pasuk, Yamav Esedra, you don't even have to go to Unkelus. It's pretty straightforward. Why did Nadav and Aviyah die? They died because they brought in Eish Zara Asher Lo Yitziva Oysam. Pasuk says, Vayikhu b'nei har Nadav Aviyah Ishmach Tasai, Vayitnu ben Eish, Vayasimu lea Ketoyres, Vayakrivu lefnei Hashem Eish Zara Asher Lo Yitziva Oysam. It's pretty straightforward. Stating that, if you look in Chazal, there are so many different reasons given for why Nadav and Aviyu died that it's mafaldik. It's marvelous. We just learned the Gemara that where the Gemara has some exchange that happened between Nadav and Avihu. But if you take a look in the Gemara in Erev and Ayin, Samachim and Aleph, and other places, there's other reasons. One Mandamar says, Mipnei ma mesu b'nei yaharoin, shahoyru alocha b'fnei rabam. Another Mandamar says, because when they entered the Kodesh, they were shtuye yaya. They were above the limit in terms of how much you're allowed to drink and be able to do the avodah. Another man says that really they were chayiv misa because they were over on vayechsu elikim and Har Sinai. They looked where they weren't supposed to look during Maimon Har Sinai. Another man says that the reason Nadav and Avihu died is because they weren't married. They didn't want to get married. And being that they weren't married, that's why they died. Another man says because they hadn't bathed. They didn't wash their hands and feet before they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Another man, the Amar says, because they didn't talk to each other. Either way, there's many reasons, and I'll read to you from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Liakov, just to emphasize the point, and we're going to cut this short before the punchline, but just to read the point. He says, Ulepelehi lechayra, amai gavavu chazal chatoim shoinim umishunim lektoishim alolo. Why do we have to come up? Everyone had to find his own reason, his own knetch, as to why Nadav and Avihu died. Sha'oma Moshe Rabbeinu Alein B'Krevi Akadosh. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Krevi Akadosh. Rashi says that Moshe tells Aharon, I see now that Nadav and Avihu are greater than me and you. U'madua lo'hispik lohem. Why weren't the Chachamim satisfied? Mashakos mefurish b'Torah, what it says mefurish in the Torah, which is b'hakrivam eish zara asher leitziva oisam. What was wrong with that? For hisifu chatoim elu shenirmezu b'mikra umadua hinichu pshutei shal mikra shalachayra maspiku. You would think the pshutei shal mikra is a good pshat. Meaning, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Aveira by the Mei Meriva, so the pasuk is a little bit more ambiguous. I mean that the pasuk is ambiguous. You have a lot of different pshat and what exactly that Torah says. Yanlo yamanti milak disheni. It's not so clear. So Memelo, there's a whole bunch. But here it's clear. It's very straightforward. So if it's so straightforward, amai gavavu chazal. Why in the world do we have to come up? Bottom line is, if you're a little confused with regards to the Mises Nadav Avihu, you have every right to be confused, because it is confusing. You have a Pshutei Shal Mikra, the Torah Shel Ksav seems to be very, very straightforward, and then at the same time, when you go to the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh, there's a whole bunch of different reasons given, and it's not so clear why these different reasons are given. Just two ha'aris, however, on this note. Number one, I saw in the Heilig Chassam Sofer, and he says it in Drushes, he also says it in his Chedushin, Mesechus Erevin, Daf Samachtal. It's one of the places in Shas where the Gemara talks about Mises Nadav Avihu. He says that Chazal gave as one of the reasons that Nadav and Avihu die is that they didn't get married. This is why they get married. So he says the reason they didn't get married is because the pasuk said b'kroivai akadosh. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said who asher dibur Hashem lema b'kroivai akadosh. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu knew b'kroivai akadosh, Nadav and Avihu also knew b'kroivai akadosh. And they made the same assumption Moshe Rabbeinu made. What was Moshe's assumption? He tells Aharon, I thought it was me and you. We're gonna die. Nadav and Avihu also assume that who's going to die? It's going to be Moshe and Aharon. Who are the Krovim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's probably going to be. It turned out, Moshe tells Aharon, Roya ani shehem gedoyle mimeni umimach. But obviously, Nadav and Avihu didn't think that. They couldn't have known that. So in their minds, who was going to die? Moshe and Aharon was going to die. That means one of them is going to take over Moshe Rabbeinu's position. The other one is going to take over Aharon HaKohen's position. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Pirish Meishtai. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to be with his wife. So being that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Pirish Meishtai, they said, aha, B'Krei V'Yakadosh, today, it's going to happen, Achshav, Hayoy, B'Krei V'Yakadosh. So why in the world should I go get married, then I'm going to have to be Pirish from my wife, right? That was the Lashon Hara with Miriam. It's not so simple to just be Pirish from your wife. It makes more sense for me not to get married. So they decide not to get married. By not getting married, Chazal lemais attributed a chet, and there was an aver that they did. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's pshat in our Gemara. Omalei Nadav Lavia emasa yomusu shneis kenim halalu. It was all related to this one avera, because in their minds they knew that Moshe and Aharon were going to die. What, they're waiting for them to die? No, they knew it was going to happen. Hu asher dibur Hashem lemai b'kroi v'yakadosh. Imagine the Yidden know that today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but there's this mesorah, there's this rumor that some people have that Moshe and Aharon are going to die today. This is not as posh as today. But the bottom line is, it's amazing. The Chassam Sofer is very bothered, incidentally. He says, how could Moshe die on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? We know that a tzaddik has to die on the day that that he's born. There's a whole beautiful Chasam Sofer that we'll have to talk about one day. But the bottom line is, he says that was the mistake that Nadav Avihu died. He says, could be that's also the pshat in Al Shahir Alacha Bifnei Rabbi. He says that even though a Talmud is not allowed to be Meir Alacha Bifnei Rabbi, but he says a Gevaldig Chiddush, which also ties into Rei that we've spoken about in the past, and that is that on the day that a tzaddik dies, B'yoyim P'tiras Eshal HaTzaddik, there's no idea of Meir HaLocha B'fnei Rabbi. We've spoken about the Yoyim P'tiras Eshal HaTzaddik. But B'yoyim P'tiras Eshal HaTzaddik, there's no Meir HaLocha B'fnei Rabbi. And he proves it from a Pasuk. Pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. V'yovoy Moshe, v'yidaber es kol divrei Ashira Azois Ba'oznei Ha'am, hu v'yishay Abenon. It's a nice Pasuk tucked away. And the end of Parshas Hazinu. V'yovoy Moshe, right, Moshe came. V'yidaber es kol divrei Ashira Azois Ba'oznei Ha'am. He spoke the Shira Azois. What's the Shira Azois? The Torah. Who? Him? The Hoshea, him together and Hoshea Benon. Zok Telgerashi, who Hoshea Benon? Shabbos Shel Diyuski Hoysa. There were two Darshanim, there were two pulpit rabbis, two speeches after davening that day. First Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Yeshua Benon. Nitla Rishus Mizeh, the Nitla was that. There was a changing of the guard. It happened on that one day. Now this is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. This was Yom Ptirasoi Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Zion Adar. It was Shabbos. This is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is going to be returned to Shemayim. And what happens on that day? Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua Benun both darshan. Now ordinarily, Chasam Sofer says the Talmud is not allowed to be Moira b'fnei Rabbi. That's Moira Halacha b'fnei Rabbi 101. Yet this was Shabbos Shel Diyuzgi. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is one of my rayas to my yisoid. That there's no Moira Alocha B'fnei Rabbi B'yei Moisam. So he says, not even Aviyah Moira Alocha B'fnei Rabbi. How are they allowed to do it? You know what the answer is? Because in their mind, B'kroi V'yakodesh, today was going to be a Ptira of Moshe Naharan. Either way, he explains a lot of things, does some Sofer classic with this idea. But there's a beautiful Kisav Sofer that needs to be mentioned right here. It's often art in Parashat Shemini. So the Gemara says that one of the reasons that Nadav and Aviyu died was because they were like Nasr Nashim. Yankee showed me this Ksav Sofer a little while ago. But one of the reasons they died was Al Shalai Nasr Nashim for Lai Hayulam Banan. And it's a Tmiya. Why in the world would Nadav and Aviyu not have gotten married? So they say, like, says the Hilig Ksav Sofer or something that if the Ksav Sofer wouldn't say, we can never say. It says Nadav and Aviyu had two role models. One was their father, Aharon HaKohen. The other one was their uncle, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had achieved Shleimus. He had achieved perfection. He had achieved anything that a human being can possibly achieve. But at the same time, Nadav and Aviyu felt that it came with a very expensive invoice. It came at the expense of the chinuch that he was able to give his own children. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was lo hiniach ben kemoisai, a lost gershim, pesel micha. Right, it came from the shalshalos of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have sons that followed in his way. And Nadav and Aviyu felt that the reason that was the case is because Moshe Rabbeinu had to work on his own avodah. Goes up to Shemayim for 40 days, another 40 days, another 40 days. What was with Moshe Rabbeinu's children? And it came at the expense of his kids. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to be mechanech his sons in a way that they were memalim makom avodah. Their father Aharon was different. Their father Aharon had sons that were tzaddikim gedolim. Nadav and Aviyu were greater than Moshe. Aharon Rashi says Elazar was going to be Elazar Kohen Gadol. He would be the next Kohen Gadol. He was maimed tremendous, tremendous children, but he himself never reached perfection. Aharon HaKohen never became Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was perfect. Aharon was great, of course, but perfection not. And Nadav and Aviyu sat down and they weren't sure what to do. Should we get married and continue to strive for perfection? It's going to have to come at the expense of our children. Should we not get married? But should we get married and focus on our children? It's going to come at the expense of, meaning modafshach. Do we focus on our children or do we focus on us? If we focus on us, it's at the expense of our children like Moshe. Do we focus on our children? It's at our own expense. So you know what they did? They decided they're not going to get married. They decided they're not going to get married. And by not getting married like this, they won't run themselves into this trouble. They're not going to have children that are not kemoisam. And at the same time, they'll be able to reach their shleimus. Says the Hilig Ksav Sofer, that's the tiefkeit over here. That's the tiefkeit of what Nadav turns to Aviyu and he tells him, Emosa yomusu shnei zekeinim halalu. And this is my interpretation, my understanding of Ksav Sofer. You can look it up yourself. He was telling them that, you know, Moshe and Aharon, they're old school. Old school, right? Old fashioned. That's the way they did it in the 60s. That's old school. You get married, you have children, and you make a decision. Either you have children that are not kemoscha, or you give up on your own personal aliyah. But we need already a new it's time for a new regime. It's time for some young blood, Generation X. We see it a little bit differently. They were a little bit more progressive. Masayu Musu is a Kenim Alolu, and we're going to show the right way to do it. You know what you do? You work on your own Avodah, and you don't get married, and you don't have children like this. You don't have to worry about it. You don't get psyched and distracted with your children. It's like this, you're able to focus on your own Aliyah. But what was the truth? The truth is they were wrong. They were killed by Yomusu. Why? Because of this mistake that they made. What was the mistake? The mistake was that the Torah is perfect. And if the Torah gives you a mitzvah to get married and to have children, and at the same time the Torah gives you a mitzvah to work on yourself, it's Efshel Lekayim Shneim. It's not an old-fashioned way of thinking. It's the Torah's way of thinking. And he quotes the Gemara, you have to get married. The Mifkin is Allah. You do, and everything else is going to work itself out. But listen to the punchline of the Ksav Sofer. Says the Ksav Sofer, V'hine, Eilu b'nei Aharon hayu boyer b'hem esh. They had a fire that was burning inside of them. Ahavas Hashem. The fire was Ahavas Hashem. Ula amoy. And towards his nation. V'lechem nimnu melisa nashem. That's why they didn't want to get married. Aval hoyu ze esh zara. It was a fremde fire. Asher lo yakuba lifnei Hashem. V'zeh sh'omer ha-kosev v'yakrivu lifnei Hashem esh zara asher lo yitziva oisam. Asher lo yitziva lem lahanek ha-tzibur ba'ofen achar mimosho. El elisa isho. Ula hoylid banim tziva Hashem. V'lechoye hoye esh zu zara. V'omer v'yomusu lifnei Hashem. Either way, Dvarim Niflaim from the Hevel Gitzav Sofer on this Gemara. Just one other Ha'ara on the Misa of Nadav and Avihu. There's so much we can run with here. But just one final Ha'ara. The Chidah says that he found a Medrash Pliya. A Medrash Pliya, right? So what's a Medrash Pliya? Somebody say a Medrash, first glance, it seems to make absolutely no sense. Medrash says as follows. Kivin Shiro Iyav, Misa Shnei B'nei Aharon. When Iyav saw the Misa of Nadav and Avihu, Omari said, Af L'zoy Siachra Libi. Now I'm scared. So Iyav was okay, but when he saw Ruach HaKodesh, the Misa of Nadav and Avihu, he said, Af v'zois yechrad libi. Says the Chidah, Shamati b'shem Rabboni Ashkenaz. Said, I heard from some Chacham in the Ashkenazic world, that he said, why was Iyav so afraid of the Misa of Nadav and Avihu? Because we know that, why did Iyav die? Why did Iyav get the Yisurim that he got? The Gemara says, Hovin eschach melegim al hoi ba'isa etzel, that Paroi had a tribunal of advisors. Who were his advisors? It was Bilam, Yisroi, and Iyav. When he said, what should I do with the Jew? How do we solve this Jewish problem? So Bilam said, kill them. Yisroi, Barach, he ran away. Iyav was quiet. Iyav Sheshasak, says the Gemara, need them be Yisur. So said this Rav from Ashkenaz, that Iyav knew that what was his Avera? His Avera was that he was quiet. He just didn't say anything. But he said, how terrible could it be from being quiet? Until he saw the story of Nadav and Avihu. And he learned this Gemara right here. Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. And I love this Zvart just because of the diak, how every word, every syllable in the Gemara is Meduktak. Omar loy Nadav le Avihu. Nadav tells Avihu, E masa yomusu shneiz kenim alalu, vaniva ata nanegas adar. Nadav is the one that's talking. Avihu was only listening. Why was Avihu punished? Only Nadav should have been punished. Adiak. Omar loy Nadav le Avihu. They didn't both say it. Nadav told it to Avihu. The teretz is, if you hear something and you're supposed to be meicha, you have to be meicha. Avihu wasn't meicha. And because Avihu wasn't meicha, he was punished. So you see that being quiet and not protesting when you should protesting could be tantamount to talking yourself. Now Eve realizes that my shasak might get me into trouble. So when he saw that, he said, "Lezois yechrad libi." Either way, Zok the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lema Talmud Chacham Doima Lifnei Ama Aretz. How is a Talmud Chacham perceived by an Ama Aretz? Betchila, in the beginning, Doima Lakitin shows up. So the first time a Talmud Chacham meets an Ama Aretz, the Ama Aretz looks at the Talmud Chacham and he's very impressed. He looks at him like a golden abecher. He looks at him like a kitten shows up. Sipre, man, once they start talking, doimel a kitten shall kasef. His stock immediately drops. He automatically is going to start seeing him not as a kitten shall zahav, but only as a kitten shall kasef. Nen amimenu, as soon as the Talmud Chacham benefits from the Amoritz, doimel a kitten shall cheres. Now already he's going to be perceived as a kitten shall cheres, a kitten that's made out of earthenware, that kiven shenishba shuv ein leitakon. It's unbelievable. So the Talmud Chacham is going to be perceived in the eyes of the Am Haaretz, depending on whether he benefited from the Am Haaretz or didn't benefit from the Am Haaretz. It sounds like it's a science. The moment that the Talmud Chacham benefits from the Amoritz. The Amoritz is no longer able to see him in this pristine way. He can't see him as a Kitan Shel Zav. He can't even see him as a Kitan Shel Kesef. At this point, he's going to be seen as a Kitan Shel Cheres. What does this have to do with anything we've been talking about this morning? So Rashi says, because it's going back onto what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said that what does it mean when it says B'nafshei, some of the context of the Misa of Adas Kairach, that how was Kairach able to wheel in his Adas Kairach by feeding them? He brought them in, a business lunch, right? This is no free lunches. If there's ever been no free lunches, that was the point. He was able to wheel them in. He was literally manipulating their whole thought process by giving them up, by picking up the bill. So you see from here that giving somebody food can have a big impact on a relationship, on the way people perceive things. And in the context of the Talmud Chacham and Amo Aretz, as soon as the Talmud Chacham benefits from the Amo Aretz, Amo Aretz is no longer able to view the Talmud Chacham in that original, innocent, pristine way. Zok Tegemar Imrisa Bas Tli. It's the name of a person. Bas Koin, she's in Savoyin, she was a Bas Koin, that was Mazana. Akfer Rav Chama Bar Tuvio, Chavilez Meiris Vesarf. So Rav Chama Bar Tuvio gave her Sreifa. She's a Bas Koin that was Mazan, right? So you have to give her Sreifa. So what did he do? He takes Chavilez Meiris and he lit her on fire. Om Rav Yosef, Ta Betarati. So Rav Yosef heard what happened. He said, Rav Chama made two mistakes. Number one, Ta Bet Rav Masna. He made a mistake. He was Ta Bet Rav Masna. Because Rav Masna said that you don't burn the person like that. But when the Mishnah says Sreifa, it means Sreifa's Neshama of a Guf Kain. That's the whole daf. It's take this psila, shalever, but you certainly, it's not dumb chavileis moiris. The Tav of the Tanya, and the second mistake that he made was the following price. If there's a Beis HaMikdash, then you can give Mises Bezdin. But Bezman she ain't Koyin, ain't Mishpat, Rav Chama lived after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Rav Chama was an Amoira. If Rav Chama was an Amoira, how is he giving Mises Bezdin? So he was Tav of the Tarati. Number one, he gave the wrong type of Sreifa. And number two, even the right type of Sreifa he couldn't have given. Because this was a time where there should not have been Mises Bezdin. In fact, 40 years before Churban Bayis Sheni is when it was already Batla Mises Bezdin. So how in the world was Rav Chama able to do this? So that's what Rav Yosef said, Tabi the Tarek. If you look at Marat Tzchius says, what's Pshat Rav Chama? Well, Rav Chama was an Amayra, he was a Gadol. He didn't know these two. He didn't know a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. And he didn't know something that we all know, that there's no Mises Bezdin after Churban Bayis Sheni. Says the Marat Tzchius, Pshat, based on a Gemara that we saw not so long ago, and that is an idea that Bezdin is makin va'inshin shalom adin. Bezdin has a right sometimes to punish somebody, not because that's the punishment prescribed by the Torah, but rather Bezdin sometimes has a right to do what they need to do, lemigdar milsa. Like we had the person that was boil ishtay tachas ateina and ben zakai gave. So there's somebody that was riding on a sus on Shabbos, even though it's only a shvus, it's an isid rabbanon. But still, he was giving me some Bezdin. So there is an idea sometimes that you're allowed to punish a person. That must be what Rav Chama did. Either way, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rav Tzadik, Ma'isa v'vas koyin shezinsa. So the Mishnah said that Rav Elazar, Rav Tzadik said that he remembers a story. There was a Bas Koyin. She was Mizana. And Bezdin, this is at the time where Bezdin was giving Misa's Bezdin, they took Chavileis Meiris, they surrounded her with it, and they lit it on fire. The Chachamim told him, that Bezdin didn't know what it was doing. That's the wrong way to do it. Rav Yosef, what does it mean? Bezdin baki. Bezdin shall tzedukim hava. This was a Bezdin shall tzedukim. Says the Gemara, was this really the back and forth? This was the shakla v'tarya between Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadik and Rav Yosef. At the time we went to the Braisa, a different version of this story. I remember I was a little child and I was on my father's shoulders. So my father is carrying me on his shoulders. He has this very fond memory until they take a left turn and they saw something that he would never forget. They saw a woman. They surrounded her by Chavilez Meiris with Sarfua and they burnt her. And he remembers seeing this. Amrulay said, they told him, Katana Yisa, the Imavin Raimin Akatam. And he was trying to say that, you see, that's how Sreif is given. Sreif is not given in the way that we learned it. Sreifas Neshama, the Gofka. No, it was real. This is old school Sreifa. That's what I saw, Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadik said. And they told him, you were a child. You remember something when you're on your father's shoulders. The Imavin Raimin Akatam. What's the Kasha? The Kasha is a different exchange. In one Maisa, Rav Elazar Tzadik's on his father's shoulders, and they tell him, don't bring a raya from there, why not? Because you're a katim, even raya, but a katim. In our mission, it sounds a little bit different. It sounds like he's a gadol, and they're telling him that you can't bring a raya from there because it was a bezin shel tzedukim. Says the Gemara, shnei maisim hava. Rav Elazar Tzadik saw this two times. Two stories. One he saw when he was a katan, one he saw when he was already older. Says, hayam adu bereisha. Which exchange between Rav Elazar Tzadik and the Chachamim happened first? Ilema hakam maisa. Do you think it's our Mishnah? Meaning, first of all, Elazar ben Tzaddik told the Chachamim that I remember seeing a Bas Koyin, they surrounded her with Chavilei's Moiros, and they killed her. And they told him, must have been a Bezin Shal Tzedukin. And then afterwards, they, by the way, I have another story. I remember when I was a little child, I was on my father's shoulders, and I saw a Bas Koyin was Mazana, they gave her Sreifa, and they told the Imavim Raimin HaKotim. What's the Kasha? Amalu Bereisha. It doesn't make sense that he would have told him the second story once he already had told him the first story. Meaning, his first story seems to be the better story. That happened when he was an adult. And they told him, you can't even bring a raya from there. He says, but I have another raya. Raya is, when I was 4 years old, I saw it also. If the maisa that he witnessed when he was 24 years old wasn't good, then why are you bringing a raya now from a maisa that happened when you were Elohim liberation? Must have been the other way. First he told her, I remember I was a little child, I was on my father's shoulders, and I saw this play out, and I'm telling you, they gave a real strefa. Va'amruleh, and what did they tell him? Katana yisa. You can't bring a raya from something that you saw when you were cut. Amaluhu kishuga. He says, okay, but I have another story. Amaluhu, they told him, Bezin wasn't Baki, and as a result, you can't bring a raya from here. But either way, you see that the Tzedukim, when they used to give Misas Bezdin, how did they give Misas Bezdin? They used to give Misas Bezdin, real Sreifa, old school. The Chachamim did Bror Le Misa Yafa. Chachamim learned it either from Nadav Aviyu, or he learned it from Adas Kairach. Machlokes in the Gemara, but the point is that it wasn't a regular sreifa where the body was cremated, it was consumed, but rather it was sreifas neshama of a gufkain. The Tzedukim didn't do it that way. Why? So Rashi said already in the Mishnah that the reason is very simple, because the Teresh of Iksav sounds like Be'esh Tisarif, if you give a regular sreifa. How do we know it's not Be'esh Tisarif? It's a Gzeirah Shav, either from Adas Kairach or from Nadav Naviyu. Gzeirah Shav is one of Yud Gimel Midah Shatayr Nidrashas Behem. The Tzedukim didn't darshan the Yud Gimel Midah Shatayr Nidrashas Behem, being that they didn't Darshan the Yud Gimel Midah Shatayr Nidrashas Behem. That's why they left it with the Pshuta Shonika. And this is one of many Gemaras in Shas where you find that the Tzedukim did not. They accepted the Torah of Iksav, and they didn't accept the Torah Shabbat, right? If you ask a child in Cheder, anyone that learned the first parak of Masechta Zuma will know this. You ask a child, who are the Tzedukim? Who are the Tzedukim? Right? Tzedukim, whatever. But who are they? So, who are the Tzedukim? So I'll tell you, oh, these were Talmidim of Tzedukim and Baisus. Tzedukim and Baisus started a movement. They believed in Torah Shabbat Iksav. They didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat. So when it says in the Torah, it doesn't mean you can't eat a cheeseburger. It means you can't cook a goat in its mother's milk. That's what it means. That's what the Torah Shabbat Iksav says. Now, we know it says it three times in the Torah, and it teaches us Echad Achila, Echad Ana, Echad Abishal. We have a whole bus of a Cholav, a whole Chelik and Yerideya from that, all half of Masechta Zechulin based on that. But the Tzedakim, they didn't believe in that. They believed only in the Torah Shabbat Iksav. So whatever it says in the Torah Shabbat Iksav, that's what they accepted. Whatever it says in the Torah Shabbat Peh, they didn't accept. But it's Yidua that the Rambam had a very big problem with that. And really, it's based on a Mishnah. There's an Ovis to Rav Nosson that says, one of the first Mishnayos, second Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis, Antignos Ish Soichoi, said, Al Tiu Kavodim HaMashamshin HaSarav HaManas L'Kavod Pras, El Tiu Kavodim HaMashamshin HaSarav Shiloi HaManas L'Kavod Pras. Says Ovis to Rav Nosson that Antignos Ish Soichoi, amongst his many Talmidim, had two that grossly misinterpreted what he said. He had a Talmud named Tzaduk, and he had a Talmud named Baisus. Tzaddik and Baisus heard their Rebbe say, but this is his memra, as quoted in Pirkei Avos, Al Tiu Kavodim HaMasham Shel HaSarav HaManas L'Kavod Pras. He says, you know why I think our Rebbe keeps on saying that? Don't serve Hashem because one day you're going to be rewarded for it. It's because there's no reward. There is no reward. There's no Olam Haba. It's not going to happen. Therefore, don't you should do it for some other reason. But Al Tiu Kavodim HaMasham Shel HaSarav HaManas L'Kavod Pras. So they said, if we're not going to get rewarded for it in the next world, so what do we need this for? So they left. They checked out. That's what happened. Freit the Rambam, that if the reason that Tzaddik and Baisus started their movement is because they didn't believe in the world to come, so what does it have to do with Teresh of Iksav, Teresh of Alpeh? If you don't believe in Teresh of Sinai, if you don't believe in Olam Haba, then for the same reason that they rejected the Teresh of Alpeh, they should have really rejected the Teresh of Iksav. So the Rambam said something very novel. The Rambam said that really, the Tzedakim and the Basusim, they didn't believe in the Teresh of Iksav either. If you would have looked into the heart of Tzaduk and Baisus, they really wanted to reject the Teresh of Iksav. But the Rambam says that at that time, it was so rampant. It was so understood that the Torah was emes, and that there was a Messiah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Yidden had received the Torah, that it was impossible to start up with the Torah Shebichtav. It wasn't possible. So if they wanted to now cause problems, just from a marketing standpoint, you could have never started this campaign of we don't believe in Torah. It's not, the Torah was way too accepted for that to even be something for somebody on his worst day to have the chutzpah to question. It couldn't have happened. But at the same time, they wanted to somehow create a community, a society that wasn't totally in Kiyama Mitzvahs. So you know what they said? They said, of course this Torah. Moshe Kibble Torah Messina, you heard from your father, who heard from his father, who heard about a Moshe Rabbeinu and a Yeshua ben Nun and a David HaMelech and a Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah, it's all true. No one's arguing with the history. But the Torah Shebichtav is true. The Torah Shebaalpeh, that the rabbis made up. That's not real. That's what they... Now, what happens if you have the Torah Shebichtav without the Torah Shebaalpeh, says the Rambam? You end up with nothing. Because it's impossible to even understand the Torah without the Torah Shebaalpeh. So they were able to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, which was no Torah Chalila, by saying yes, Torah Shebichtav and no Torah Shebaalpeh. So you want to know what they believe? They didn't believe in the Torah at all. Why? Because they took what their Rebbe Antignus Ish Soichei said very literally. Why? Because there is no pras. But at the same time, they couldn't sell that. So they needed a product that was somewhat marketable, it was somewhat sellable. What was that? Teresh Shebichtav and not Teresh Shebaalpeh. So it's fascinating. This that you always find that the Tzedakim, they somehow work with the Teresh Shebichtav and not the Teresh Shebaalpeh, it's not because that's what they believe. It's interesting because the Rambam in his times dealt with a group called the Karoim, the Karaites. And the Karoim considered themselves a reincarnation of the Tzedakim. So it was actually a contemporary issue that the Rambam was not dealing with in his time. And that's why he wrote a lot about the Tzedakim. He wrote about them and philosophized about them because it was current events. It was something very contemporary, something very real that the Rambam had to write. Either way, that's the Rambam's theory of the Tzedakim and the Baisayas. It's clear that the Chamim had many tzaras with them. In addition to all the Gemaras that talk about them, you know, there's some that say that the sin of Shechinim that caused Bayesheni was somehow related to that. But the point is, there was a lot of fighting and issues that went back and forth with the Tzedakim. And that's why you find that the Chachamim did things sometimes. L'hoitzi miliban shal Tzedakim. You have it in Sinyan of the Yemesun, you have it in Masechtas Yuma. Because one of the arguments, one of the points of contention between the Tzedakim and the Prushim, as the Chachamim were known, was how to bring the Keteris on Yom Kippur. Are you supposed to be makta the Keteris outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ki be'onon eira like a pyrus, is already going to be the onon of the Keteris is already going to be there? Or was it supposed to be done, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? I once heard something amazing. We know that the Kohen Gadol used to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim twice on Yom Kippur. Two times. Both the two times. So one time he went to do the Avodah, and then he would go in a second time, because when he went in originally, he went in to be machta the Keteris. So he had a kaf, a spoon. What was in the spoon? The incense, the Keteris. He had a machta. Machta was like a shovel, a pan. What was on the pan? He had the coals. He would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He would take the incense and the kaf, pour it on the machta. And that was the Anana Keteris that took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Kohen Gadol would go in a second time. How are you going to get the kaf and the machta? So he has to go in a second time. If you think about it, it's unbelievable. Till the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is Be'ema Be'ira Be'resis U'Be'zeya, right? This is a very, very risky mission. You're entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the first time to do the Avodah, that we all understand. But you're going in now a second time? Well, maybe wait till next year to bring out the kaf and the machna. Well, the Gemara says sometimes if they had to do construction, there was like a right to go in. But there's like a hole? V'shem yichud? I'm going in. Lahitzias a kaf and a machna. The answer is yes. Why? Because you see that when the Kohen Gadol used to bring the Keteris on Yom Kippur, they were very concerned about the Tzedakim. It was a big concern because they used to do it differently. Now, the way the Tzedakim brought the Keteris, the Kohen Gadol would enter with the Keteris already burning. Did you need a kaf and a machta? No, all you needed was a machta. You didn't need the kaf. Only the way the Prussian brought the Keteris did you need the kaf and the machta. So, lahoitzi mi liban shal Tzedakim, there was an event. What happens now? You know what happens now? The Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he brings out a kaf and a machta. A kaf? What do you need a kaf for? Because he's machta the Keteris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not like the Tzedakim do it. Lahoitzi mi liban shal Tzedakim. So there's a whole chalois of lahoitzi mi liban shal Tzedakim by being moitzi the kaf and the machta. Just a few more minutes of Gemara. Mitzvah Sanerogin. So we go from Sreifa now to Saif. So what was Hereg, also known as Saif? The person was killed with a sword. The victim, the inmate, was beheaded. Besayef with a sword. Kiderek Shamalchus Aisa. Mishnah says it was done in the same way the Malchus did it. Right, until recently, that's the way the guillotines, right? So that's how they would kill. They would behead people. It was common practice. So they purse, the Malchus would behead. That's how they were better. Rabbi Yehuda says, Nivel Huloi. Nah, you can't behead somebody. Elamanichan Esresha al Asadon. What they would do is they would put the person's head on a sadon, like on a brick. The koitzit, be koifetz, and then they would take a koifetz, like an axe or a. And they would chop his head off. Amr they told him, "Ein misim nevel." There's nothing more disgusting than that. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yehuda l'chacham. Yehuda told the chacham, "Afani yodei she misim nevel." Say, I understand that what I'm suggesting is a misim nevel. Avam ma esse. What should I do? Shari Amr Teir. The Teir said, "B'chukesem leisei leich." It says you're not allowed to do things in the way that the Umay Sa'ilam do it. And if the Umay Sa'ilam behead people in a certain way, when we behead, we have to do it differently. Rabbanon, keeping the chsiv saif by raisa, let me know. It's true. There's an idea of b'chukasem leisei leichu. But if it says in the Torah you should do it a certain way, that means when you do it, you're not following the chukas agayim. You're following what the Torah says. So that's not called the b'chukasem leisei leichu. Dilo itay mahachin. Anymore says I'll prove it to you. Had the time to the raisa. Sefer nala malachin. After the king would die, after Melch Yisrael would die, they would take all his possessions and they would burn it. Now the truth is, it was a darkei amayri. It was something that the pagans used to do. And even though it's something the pagans used to do, the Braisa says, "Sarf and ala malachim." Zeb said, "It's okay. You're allowed to do it." And v'loy mi darki amari. It's not darki amari. Kasha is, but if that's what darki amari is, why are we allowed to do it? Hechi sarfin abaksev v'chuseim loy say leichu. Ella, you have to say kiyum dechsev sreifa by Raisa, being that it says sreifa in the Torah. Dechsev it says by tzidkiyo b'misrofes avisecho. Right? The Navi talks that that's what they used to do. So lab mi nayu kogramin. We're not learning it from darki amari. We're learning it from Tzidkiyo. We're learning it from the Pasuk in Tanakh. Hachanami, kivin dechsev saif by Raisa, being that it says saif in the Torah, lav minayu kogaminon. So it comes out, we're not learning it from that. It says, the other time we went to the Mishnah, v'idach perkin, Elohein hanerogin. The Mishnah says, Elohein hanerogin, and it goes through, who, tzchayif saif. Haritzeach, v'anche iranidachas. So bishlam iranidachas, I understand that iranidachas get saif, and they get saif in the way that we just mentioned it. They're beheaded. Because ksiv behu, it says clearly in the Torah, by irani dachas, lefi charev. Charev is a sword, that's a saif, and lefi means the mouth. It's in the neck area. El rotzeach minolon. How do you know that a rotzeach is chayef saif? The time we went to the braiso, nokoim yinokim. The pasuk says, v'chiyaki ish es avdoi. If somebody kills somebody else's eved, oyes amosei b'shevet, umeis tachas yodoi, nokoim yinokim. So if somebody kills somebody else's eved, he's chayef miso. Says the Gemara, nekim ezu eni yodeh mahu. Terry says you take revenge from. What does revenge mean? Kishwoimer, when it says Vivesa Lechem Cherev Nekemes Nekambris, it says somewhere else, Nekemes Nekambris and Cherev Heavy Yoimer Nekimazu Saif. So you see that Nokem Yinoke means Saif. So too, when it says Vichyaki Ishes Avdai Eyes Amose Beshevet Umeis Tachas Yodai Nokem Yinoke, what does Nokem Yinoke mean? It means Cherev. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema de Boris Le Mivris, how do you know you kill the Reitzeach by slitting his throat or by beheading him? Maybe you stab him in the chest. Lefi charev. We just said that by the ear and idachas it says lefi charev, and that's saif. So it makes sense that a reitzeach eved who we just said nokem yinokem, which means saif, is also lefi charev. But the aim of the avodah gistra, maybe they would cut him in half. So they would cut him, meaning not stab him in the chest, for example, where it doesn't touch his pet at all, but maybe just cut the body into two. And like this, it's going to go through every organ in the body. It's going to go through lefi charev as well. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu, Amar Kro, v'yahavtel reyacha kameicha, bror loy misa yafa. That's already not the misa yafa. So if lefi charev can mean behead, or lefi charev can mean the ovid le gistera, believe it or not, the beheading in this case is actually the misa yafa. Says the Ashkan the Kotel Avdo, bar chayre minon. So you only see the pasuk that a reitzeach that kills an eved gets saif. Like that pasuk that says the chiyaki ishes avdoi. Oh yes, amosei bashevet umeis tachas yodei nokem yinokem. And we said nokem yinokem means saif, but the pasuk is clearly talking about someone that killed an eved. The bar chayr minol. How do you know if somebody kills a regular ben chayr, he also gets saif? Says the word avkal v'chaymeru katal avde besaif bar chayr. What should the bar chayr get? Should he get chenek? He's not going to get skila because the Torah would have to say skila. He's not going to get sreifa. The Torah would have to say sreifa. The only other option would be chenek. Why? The stam misses chenek. So the shayl is, should he get chenek or should he get saif? Saif is more chomer than chenek. I'm going according to the chacham. So if saif is more chomer than chenek, it doesn't make sense that if somebody kills an eved, he gets saif. He gets the more chomer misa. And if somebody kills a ben chayrin, he gets the lesser misa. He only gets chenek. But the Mar says, honey, that's true. Laman dama chenek kal. If you hold chenek is less chomer. El laman dama chenek chomer ma yikul meimar. But if chenek is more chomer, then maybe it's stam misa, which is chenek. Says the Gemara, nafke me detanya. The pasuk says, va'ate devar hadam hanaki mekirbucha. And that's in the context of egla harufa. Hukshu kol shayv chedam al egla harufa. Any reitzech is compared to egla harufa. Ma'ala alam besayif. Just like by egla harufa, besayif. What does it mean besayif? You kill the ego. The egla roof itself, with a saif, umin atzaver, and it's in the neck area, afkan besayif, so too, when a person was given saif, it was with a sword, or meaning so too, every retzeach was given saif, umin atzaver, and he's beheaded. Umala halam bekoifetz, just like over there, it was done with a koifetz, that was the implement that was used. Umimula oirif, it was done from behind the neck, afkan bekoifetz, umimula oirif, maybe we shall learn the details of how the person was beheaded, also from the Egla Rufa, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravua Makra, Ve'ahavta l'reyacha kamoicha brodla misa yofa. So you always have to balance. On the one hand, it's going to be saif, it's going to be a beheading, but at the same time, to the extent that we could be brodla misa yofa, we have to try our best to be brodla misa yofa.